Blog Talk Radio.
Soul, take heart,
Welcome to PGN. I am one half of your host, Terrence.
And I am your other host, Tanisha. Today is March 27, 2024, 7:06 p.m. Central Standard Time. Thank you for tuning in, joining us tonight, PGN Prophetic Grace Network.
Amen. It is a blessing to be here. So many other places you could be. You could be in hell already. You could be broken down on the side of the road. Oh, it could be different, and it could be worse. You, if you at work right now and you hate your job, man, hang on in there. Because there's always an end to everything. As well as there's a beginning, there is an end. So the trick of the enemy is to get you thinking that, oh, my God, what's getting on your nerves right now going to always be getting on your nerves. You know, what's getting on your nerves right now won't be getting on your nerves eventually. Mm-hmm. So don't even focus on, don't even give it that power. You know, you just continue to stand on the word of God. You just continue to move forward on what you know to be true, regardless of how the enemy tries to show himself in your life. You have to stand on the word of God. You have to stand on the word of God, because when you stand on the word of God, you identify what's going on around you.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're seeing it through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, you're seeing it through the eyes of truth. You're not seeing it through the eyes of delusion. You're not seeing it through the eyes of emotions. You're not seeing it through the eyes of what you think. You're seeing it through the eyes of truth. Mm-hmm. Because the Spirit is all-knowing. The Spirit of God is all-knowing. Let me clarify that. The Holy Spirit is all-knowing. You know, there are a lot of spirits out here just moving and working in people's lives, and they just allowing them access because it's been comfortable, because it's been something they've been used to, or they feel like it's no big deal. Anytime you start thinking that it's no big deal, it really is. You can tell yourself it's no big deal all day, but it really is. Ask Judas. He realized it was a big deal once he took the bait. It was a big deal. It was a big deal for Isaac as the son of Abraham, man. He was on his he was on his way to his final destination. That was a big deal. But God. You know, God always comes in and he smooths things over. He always makes it work for the good of them that love him and are called according to his purpose. John 15. We're going to start verse 18. Lord gave me this because he really wants us to understand what's going on. What's going on? Another thing, there is no such thing as a bad day. John 15, verse 18, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. So we're going to stop right there. We're going to keep going, but it says, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. So in other words, you ain't special. Don't get it twisted. Don't. There's no reason to get caught up in your emotions, because when you are walking and representing Christ, it comes with the territory. This is what comes with it. The world is not supposed to like you. You ain't supposed to be special to the world. Jesus, the one, gave his life for you. You special to God. That's why you can't get it twisted sitting up here thinking that I got to get approval from man. Man ain't gave his life for you. Man ain't done nothing for you but create more issues for you to try to figure out. Man will create more difficult times for you. So your approval should never be focused on, man. They don't care about you, for real. Verse 19, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hated you. As a believer, when you choose to follow Christ, you got to understand that if you were a part of the world would love his own. When you follow Christ, you're not part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus gave his life to call us out of the world, according to scripture here, because he chose you. You were chosen by God. And when you're chosen by God, you don't have to be validated by anyone else. When God ordained David, when he chose David to be king, that was God. It didn't matter what people did or said. It did not change the fact that David was king. Because God ultimately makes the decisions. He has the final say. Let's keep it going. Verse 20, remember the word. Remember the word. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. Remember the word, people. Remember what the Lord has said unto you, that you, a servant isn't greater than his Lord. So if Jesus is our Lord, look at what Jesus went through here in this world. Because if you understood what Jesus went through and you're around here whining and crying about people not accepting you, not understanding you, or you're afraid to say something because you're angry with people, they ain't worth this or this. Man, look, Jesus still came. We wasn't worth it. Think about this. You and I were not worth it when it came down to sin. God gave us a chance in the Garden of Eden. It was meant for man to never die. We messed that up. We allowed sin. We ushered sin in when we disobeyed God. Whenever you deviate from what God has told you to do, you open the door for hell to open flood in your life.
Literally, all hell will break loose.
Literally. So, man, yeah, you got to work. That's part of sin. You sinned against God. Yeah, this is why we have to die. The wages of sin is death. Because of sin, we have to die here in this earth. A lot of us. Some will be raptured, but this is part of what's going on. This is why we go to funerals. This is why we sit up here and be crying when a loved one gone on. Oh, sin did that. So if you want to be angry about heartbreak, you want to be angry about being alone or what have you, it's because of sin. You blame yourself because we defy God. Well, it wasn't me in the garden. Okay, it wasn't you physically in the garden. But what you come from was there. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't be here because if it wasn't for God deciding to create us. He made a decision. He chose us. Mm-hmm. Think about that. You were chosen to be created. How dare you not trust God? How dare you sit up here and get caught up on everything that they say and everything that they're doing outside of God, and nobody created you but him. Remember the word. Verse 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. The world does not know God. So as a believer, for you to be sitting at the table and slurping pig slop, and you were made in the image and likeness of God, and you were chosen by him, and through Jesus' blood, we were made righteous. But yet you choose. You choose to dance with those that don't know God, to seek approval from those that don't know God. This is what God, this is what it means to be delivered. This is what it means for the scales to fall off, being born of the Spirit. The Spirit of God reveals to you lies, because it's truth. It's the light. Imagine walking into a dark room and flipping the switch. You standing in the room with your hand on the switch, the Bible. I'm just, you know, giving you a visual. A hand on the switch, and you begin to read that Bible, and you, the light turns on. So the Bible illuminates, and it's the light to every to darkness. It removes darkness. So you flip the switch, and so darkness disappears. Mm-hmm. And so you have the light, which then opens up everything in that particular room. And so you're able to see where everything is. So you could tell if something is out of order. You could tell if something is mismatched. You could tell if something shouldn't be here, or maybe it should. You could tell if it's dirty. You could tell what needs to be cleaned, what needs to be removed. You know, you can tell because the light is on. But when you're walking in darkness, you can't see nothing. And so you're stumbling over things. And then you're causing, you're putting yourself in danger because you don't know what you're stepping on. You could be stepping on something valuable that's in that room that could be significant to your lifeline. You can't see when it's dark. So without the word of God in this world, you cannot see it. You cannot see this world for what it is. Don't be ashamed to serve Jesus. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. So you run into people that claim to know God. You run into people that claim to be God's sins, and they serve in all of these different majestic gods and this, that, and the other, but they deny Christ. They say, they call Christ everything but who he is. And so the Bible clearly says, he says, he that hated me hated my Father. So you know that they do not know who God is. Because you cannot come to the Father except through the Son. You got to love Jesus in order to love God. That's the order. God is about order. And because things are out of order, and we have gotten used to things being out of order, because this is the out of order we've been born in, which appears to be order, because I've been born into chaos. I've gotten used to chaos. So chaos has become a normal to me. And so through a normality of chaotic situations have become my life. And so I define who I am based off what I've come out of. But thank God for Jesus. Because what Jesus does, when the light turns on, you recognize that you were born into chaos. You recognize that that chaos is not of God. And so therefore you begin to correct the chaos through the help of the Holy Spirit, through the yielding by of the Holy Spirit, the instructions of the Holy Spirit, the fearlessness of your faith and trusting in the Holy Spirit to do what thus saith the Lord, and let this world know who is the ruler. That's what your life is supposed to exemplify when you are walking as a true believer in Jesus Christ. Verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, ooh, hallelujah, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause, y'all. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from who? The Father. Even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. If you have not received the Holy Spirit, you do not know who God is. Reading this scripture, right? But when the Comforter is come, this is verse 26, he said, whom I will send unto you from who? The Father. This is why Jesus tells us to have faith in God, because everything comes from the Father. Everything good comes from the Father. Everything righteous comes from the Father. Everything with substance comes from the Father. Everything real comes from the Father. So the Comforter, and because when you receive the Holy Spirit, it testifies, it bears witness of who Jesus is. So you know when somebody is filled because they bear witness mm-hmm. to who Jesus is. You know who Jesus is. You know who's filled by how they move. You know who's filled by even how they look. You can smell who's filled. We need the Holy Spirit. Many of us have been struggling with truly receiving the Holy Spirit and allowing the Comforter to comfort you. It's a reason why the Holy Spirit was labeled and called the Comforter. The Holy Spirit comforts you. Why? Because you ain't out here lost. You know how much comfort that is to be in a place and not lost? The Comforter is our compass to God, because God gives us directions and he instructs our steps because they are ordered by him. We're in this foreign land that's far from our home. And so to be in a place without a compass is scary. You don't know nothing about north, south, east, and west. You don't know nothing. Nothing about planes or anything about wildlife or nothing like that. And you just here with no protection. That's how it is when you don't have the Comforter. The Comforter will tell you, that's the snake. Don't touch that. Go that way. Move here. Rest here. Walk that way. Water is there. Food is here. This is what the Comforter does. It leads and guides us into all things. And so tonight, when we really want to elevate our lives and we really want God to, quote unquote, do something in our life, it's really more on you. Because how much do you believe?
Mm-hmm.
Are you lining your life up to what you're asking God to provide you? And when I say lining your life up, is your mind right? It takes a level of faith to truly believe this. And you know what the level of faith is? It's the size as a mustard seed, as the scripture talks about it, as the size of a mustard. So it could even be smaller than a mustard seed.
The mustard seed is very small.
Very. A little faith goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little.
Just a little bit.
You think about just a little light in a dark room. Goes a long way. A little light gives hope. That means that there's a crack somewhere.
Mm-hmm. So this phrase is like a glimmer of hope.
Mm-hmm.
What is a glimmer?
Come on.
It's just a little bit.
It's a little bit. It don't take much.
Because you can build on it.
But it takes some.
Mm.
It takes some. Without faith, it's impossible to please God Almighty. It takes some. You've been believing for whatever you claim you've been believing for. Are you sure you've been believing for it, or you just been talking about it?
Mm.
Because belief is action based on what I know God has said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm give y'all a definition tonight. My belief in the word of God, action based on what I know the word says, period. If I know the word says this, I'm going to put my faith on it. Boom. And so I believe that that's the word of God. And so I'm going to start acting like it.
Speaking like it.
And I'm going to speak like it till I become it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm claiming it. I'm amening it. I'm so being that. Why? Because this is what God says is for me. So if he tells me what's available for me, I need to grab it. Where? In faith. I have to grab it in the spirit in order to bring it to the natural, to manifest here. Because everything that I see physically is what I have seen spiritually. Come on, somebody. It didn't start here physically. Y'all better get off the gas around here. But I'm telling you, we are taking on a different mentality when we're talking about serving God, when we're talking about serving Jesus Christ. Jesus was not afraid, guys, of nobody. Let me get that out there. Jesus was not weak. He was not weak. I mean, we're talking about conquered death and all of the beatings and all of that. The Bible says that he gave his life. Nobody even took his life, so that further validates Jesus trusted his father, and he followed his father. He believed in his father. And so us as believers, we got to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We got to, first, in order for you to know, to trust something, you got to have some information. You got to know about them. How can I trust the word of God if I don't know what he said? Somebody can come up and tell me, hey, man, God said blue 33 every day just for me. And I'm around here, hey, blue 33 every day just for me because God said it. I'm repeating what somebody said, so I'm lying on God. So in other words, I'm saying this, guys, you got to go for yourself. Don't rely on Randy. Don't rely on me and Tanisha to read it for you. No, you got to work out your own salvation. You got to put that work in. Everybody is accountable. We all got work to do. It's people that God has assigned to you that need to know him through your hands. Because I don't know about y'all, but I look forward to the crowning ceremony in heaven and getting my reward. Mm-hmm. Man.
It's amazing how everything that God does, the enemy tries to mimic it.
Uh-huh.
And you see so many people in the earth that will do things for accolades from man that won't last. When you go into eternity, you don't even get to take those things with you, but the reward that God gives us,
right,
they are eternal. But people will literally sell their soul to be recognized,
mm-hmm,
by man.
Absolutely. All day long.
Or they'll fall apart because they didn't recognize them at the job. They didn't get a paper printout.
Yeah.
Or something. I mean, think about that. Who cares?
You didn't get the email with the balloons and
right,
the confetti on it.
You didn't get a pizza party.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But it's like you got to really put things in perspective. My goal is to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. The stuff here, if you recognize it, you recognize it. I have a job to do.
Yeah.
I got to take my focus off that. We all need to get our focus off that. Is it great to be recognized and acknowledged? Yes, it's amazing when people see what you're doing, but is that the goal? No.
Mm-mm.
You get it. You don't. But we have to be focused on the mission at hand. We're here on a mission.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I allowing the things that come along, the stink of this world, to affect my decisions, to affect my mind? Am mm-hmm. I becoming bitter or hardened or whatever? We got to constantly be asking ourselves these questions and going to the Father and allowing the Holy Spirit to tell us the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the Holy Spirit will be telling you, like, no, you're the one that's wrong. You be like, uh-uh. And you be arguing with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But what you arguing with truth for?
Mm-hmm.
Once you start arguing with truth, now you've entered into the land of delusion.
Mm-hmm.
Because truth is what it is. You can't out-argue the truth.
Mm-mm.
You can present every evidence, fact, spreadsheet, PowerPoint presentation, Word document that you can muster up, but it's not going to change what is.
Mm-mm.
So you have to be receptive to the Holy Spirit as well. When he's telling you the truth, just believe the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And if the truth is ugly and you don't like it, then take it to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Take it to Jesus. Lord, this is the truth about me mm-hmm. right now, but I don't want this to be mm-hmm. the truth about me. So help me. And the Holy Spirit's going to help you
mm-hmm.
because he already sent them to you to help you,
mm-hmm.
to guide you into all truth, even truth about you. It's not just truth about everybody else, because everybody always try to point out, you're wrong too.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let the truth slide past you, but it applies to everybody else. You need to accept the truth about you too, because nobody here is walking around perfect, not one of us.
Nobody.
The only perfect one was Jesus when
nobody.
He came in the form of man.
Man, absolutely.
And like this word says, they persecuted and hated him and all that. He didn't do nothing wrong. So how much more are they going to persecute and hate you when you actually do things wrong because you're born in sin
right.
and shaped with iniquity? You're prone to sin.
Right.
You're prone to do wrong things. You're prone to make mistakes because what? You're a human being.
Right.
So they going to use that even more against you. They didn't have nothing to use against Jesus, and yet they still hated and persecuted him. So you're gonna feel it even more.
Absolutely.
So you got to reconcile that in your head, like the word says.
Mm-hmm.
You're not part of this world. So they're not going to embrace you and pat you on the head and give you an attaboy or an attagirl. They don't like mm-hmm. you.
They can't stand
you. They cannot, because when you bring the truth, a lot of people get upset when you come with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
lot of people want to cower in the corner. They want to stay in the darkness. And here you come with the light. They don't like that. So they try to find any way to get rid of you to so that you'll go away and they can continue in their ignorance and their delusion and their darkness.
Mm-hmm. Because you got people that say, well, I haven't done anything to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, when you made a decision to follow Christ, that's what you did.
That's it.
You don't have to say a word because the presence of God, because God is a spirit,
mm-hmm.
and his presence alone is tormenting, you know, because the spirit is always moving constantly. The spirit is alive constantly,
mm-hmm.
you know, the spiritual things. They don't rest. So when you go to work every day, you pray on your way to the job or, you know, whatever the case may be, and you just tell yourself, well, I just go in here just to do my job, you know, and go home. I don't know why these folks tripping on me. It's time out for that, because you know why they tripping on you. It's because of the spirit that you bear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, give God his credit. Understand who you are and whose you are.
Mm-hmm.
And begin to war against what you recognize. We spend so much time talking about what is going on versus applying the solution to what can resolve what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to spend time applying the fix. Because it's a part of us that wants to take things personal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a part of us that want to make it about us so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to tell you tonight, it ain't about you. It never has been
mm-hmm.
about you. You matter to God. Jesus gave his life for you. That's who you matter to. The world don't care about you. The world hates you. Period. The quicker that sits in and settles in, the better off. I'm telling you. You're going to leaps and bounds. When you get this revelation, you move through life in leaps and bounds,
mm-hmm.
literally,
yeah,
instantaneously.
Because the mentality is different.
It's different.
Because like you said, verse 20, I want to read it out of the Amplify real quick.
Go ahead.
Again, this is in red, too, mm-hmm. just so those who are maybe newer in the faith to Bible reading, when it's in red, this is Jesus being directly quoted. He says, so he says, remember and continue to remember.
Mm-hmm.
That I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you.
Mm-hmm.
If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Verse 21, but they will do all these hurtful things to you for my name's sake, because you bear my name and are identified with me, for they do not know the one who sent me. So
right.
He's already letting you know what it is.
Period.
It's about him. It's about Christ. Period.
It's about
and
him.
Be grateful when these people come and start showing what they possess, because now you know the type of spirit that they possess. Because the spirit that they possess is in war with the spirit that you possess, so there's not an alignment. There's not an allegiance. You're not allies. They put
mm-hmm.
themselves on the opposite end of the fight.
Mm-hmm.
So they will identify themselves. Because it's one thing when a person doesn't like you. It's another thing when they're persecuting and trying to hurt you and do all these things. That's letting you know what they possess, the spirit that's in them. So now you know what time it is.
Right.
And now you know what it's about. It's about what you possess.
Mm-hmm.
If the world loves you and they're giving you all these accolades and they're putting you on their shoulders and saying, for he's a jolly good fella, Houston, we have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you really belong to?
Come on.
Because if the world is loving you, and this is Jesus himself saying that the world's going to hate you and persecute you.
Come on.
Him, perhaps you're not,
come
you
on.
Do not belong to Jesus.
Come on. Come on.
Because if the world is loving you,
man,
the Lord don't lie.
Uh-oh.
So you should have an expectation of hate. That should be the expectation, because he's telling you, see, he don't leave us unprepared.
Right.
We don't get out in the world and say, what's going on here? Why does everybody hate me? I didn't do anything to nobody. I didn't do nothing to nobody. I'm over here just trying to do the right things and this, that, and tell the truth, and they over here tearing me down. Where is your confusion coming from? People perish for lack of knowledge. That's why some people be falling apart and foaming at the mouth and in the corner rocking back and forth because they don't know what's going on, because they're not reading their word, when Christ has already equipped us and let us know what time it is, so that when it happens, we're not sitting there surprised. We're like, oh, I already knew what this was. They persecuted Christ, so I know they're going to persecute me.
It is what it is.
They hated him. I know they're going to hate me because they don't know the one who sent him, who I can go boldly before because of Christ. But there's a solution to all of that. That's why you've got to get into your word, so that you know what it is, so when you go out in the world and they hating you, and you just like, oh, okay. But don't just stop there. You don't have to just be, you know, pummeled and treated bad and all kinds of stuff. He gives solutions to everything, too. That when they start forming them weapons, they're not going to prosper. They start sowing them ugly seeds. They're going to reap them. He's going to protect you. God before you, who could be against you? There's solutions to all of the things that come about from you being in the world and doing the mission. You don't have to worry about what they got going on, because God has already given you promises that he's going to protect you while you are here doing your work in the world. And he tells you how to handle them. Just pray for them, folks. They don't know what they're doing. Pray for them. And when God tells you to take action, take action. But don't take action based on what they're doing. Take action based on obedience to what God is telling you to do in response. Sometimes he's going to tell you to do nothing, and it will drive you a little bonkers and bananas when you know that there's something that you can do, but that's part of dying to self. When you say, okay, I know what I would do, but God ain't told me to do that. So I'm just going to have to die to that, knowing that I could fix it, but if I fix it, am I really fixing it, or am I just making the matter worse? Because again, man is the reason for all this stuff. And guess what? You are part of man. So you can mess things up too. That's all man does, is create problems, like Terrence said. You could create a problem, a bigger problem for yourself by following and listening to yourself, that flesh, that man side of you. Mm-hmm. That's why you have to listen to the Spirit of God, because man's proven time and time again that when we get bright ideas and we follow them, problems follow. Because it is in us. We have a sinful nature. Mm-hmm. Because when you think about it, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. When we do foolish things, we do things like there is no God.
Mm-hmm.
It's foolish when you don't consult with God, because now you're acting like there isn't one. So why not just ask him? If you know that there's a God and you know that he's a perfect God, you know that he's the Alpha and the Omega, he's omnipresent and omnipotent, you know these things, that he is the creator of all things, that he created wisdom itself, who watched everything go down. Why would you make decisions without him? That's foolish. So you're acting like in a manner as if there isn't a God. So you need to be consulting him for everything. And when the Holy Spirit is prompting you, you need to be listening and not closing your ears to the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about, I got this. The only thing you got is some problems on your hands if you are telling the Holy Spirit to be quiet so that you can do what you do, because you got this. We got to be real with ourselves. Who are you listening to? Or what? Because you need to be listening to the Holy Spirit, who God has given you. Like Terrence said, he's called the comforter for a reason. There's a comfort in knowing that it's going to work out for you. There's a comfort in knowing that God has plans for you. It doesn't matter what man's plans are for you. Because people will try to make plans for you. They'll try to plan your downfall. They'll try to plan your upgrade. They'll try to plan whatever. But there's a comfort in knowing that God's plans are going to supersede whatever man's plans, whether they're good, bad, ugly. That God's plans will supersede. There's comfort in that. There's comfort in knowing that all things come to an end, especially bad things. Like I said, you might really be hating your job today. You might have had a rough day. It took it out of you. But there's an end date. There's an end to that. You might be dealing with a court situation. You're not going to be in court for the rest of your life. You could be dealing with a bad neighbor or a toothache or all sorts of things, but it's going to come to an end. But we need to be rejoicing in the fact that God has plans for us, mm-hmm. for our future, to give us hope, not for our harm, but Don't you get in the way of what God got going on because you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. You're not reading the word. You would know that the world's going to attack you if you would read the word. Instead of sitting there gossiping with your family about what so-and-so and blah, blah did, okay, they're worldly people. I'm shocked by your shock.
Mm-hmm.
Worldly people do worldly things. They don't possess the Holy Spirit. They don't love God. I don't care how much they say they love God and burn their sage. If they don't love Jesus, they hate God. If they reject Christ, they hate God, whether they realize that or not. Because they're living their life by the seat of their pants, whatever way the wind blows them. They ain't trying to follow God's edicts and precepts and rules and regulations and ways of doing things properly. They're not trying to do things decent and in order. They're trying to do things that self-serve, which is the very opposite of God. The downfall of the devil was he was selfish,
mm-hmm,
and prideful. And when you doing things according to what you want, you ain't thinking about nobody else. You ain't thinking about the Lord, nobody. You fall into that same trap as the enemy. You are acting exactly like him, just like him,
mm-hmm,
who is the main enemy to God. So we need to get ourselves together. We need to get to that word. We need to believe it, most importantly. It's not enough to read it. Let it stick. Meditate on it. Build faith for it. Because at the beginning and the end of the day, that's the only thing you really have that's secure. All these other things are a false sense of security if it's outside of Christ, period. Everything outside of him is liable to fail. I don't care how long it's been standing. I don't care how powerful it is. I don't care what they say. That stuff is a Titanic. They said it was unsinkable, and it sank its first voyage.
Mm-hmm.
Them people was comfortable when they hit that glacier. They still was ordering tea and going back to bed because they had so much faith in that. Because it's not a matter of people saying, well, it's hard for me to have faith. No, you got faith. You got a lot of faith. You just got misguided faith.
Mm-hmm.
You got faith in a lot of things. You got faith that bed gonna hold up every night. You got faith that chair you sitting in ain't gonna fall. You got faith that when you turn the TV on, the cable gonna come on. You got a lot of faith. You got faith in the water that you drink that is healthy and safe. You ain't inspecting it or doing any experiments on it to make sure. You got a lot of faith, but put your faith in God. Put your faith where it needs to be, because you got the ability to have faith. That ain't the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
It's what do you have faith in?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
You could have said, I'm done.
Yeah, I know the Holy Spirit was going to let you know.
She dropped the mic.
I was saying that. Listen, the Holy Spirit was going to let you know I dropped that mic. You see how that was flesh and blood?
She dropped the mic.
She
left the building. but a word, though. Left with a word, because the word is what we build on. The word of God is our foundation. If you're going to stand on anything, stand on the word of God. Never deviate from standing on the word of God. To stand on something means that you believe it'll hold you up. You know, most of us ain't, all of us, I haven't met anybody. You know, I've read about a few that have walked on water, but during my time, I haven't seen anybody saying that they finna go stand on that water. You know, reason being is say because, you know, you could drown, you're going to sink because they know water cannot hold them up. Water wasn't designed to hold them up. But even on water with the word of God, you can stand. If you're standing on the word of God and you're moving out on what Jesus tell you to move out on, it doesn't matter what's under you. If you're standing on the word of God, that's what holds you up.
Mm-hmm.
See, Lord just gave me revelation. People, wow, we really thought Peter was actually walking on water. But what he was doing was standing on the word of God,
mm-hmm,
to where the water couldn't move him. The water head couldn't shake him because he was standing on the word of Jesus. Jesus said, come. He was standing on what he said. So in our eyes, it appeared that he was walking on water because we can't see the Spirit. We can't see what's going on in the Spirit naturally. We see the outcome of it, but he was standing on the word of God in spiritually, but physically walking on water.
That's what was holding him up, was the word.
The word was holding him up. Because the moment that he let go of the word, and he was no longer standing on calm, and he started standing on waves and winds. Then he began to succumb to that, because that's where he began to put his faith in. Because he believed that set was what was winning.
That just shows you the reality is that the spirit defies the natural.
All the time.
And so if things have a natural order or a natural, you know, system and all, that's why you got to stand on the word.
You got to.
Because it will defy whatever the natural is. Oh, you got to do this, that, and the other to get that. But if I'm standing on the word, that's going to supersede whatever
all of that
the natural is. And even the function of the natural does not affect me.
Mm-mm.
Because that man should have, the minute he stepped on, well, you couldn't step on it. He shouldn't even have the ability to step on water. You can't step on water.
Physically, you can't walk on water.
You can't physically do it.
No.
So the minute he put his foot out there and put it down on the water,
it should have
sank to the bottom.
Right.
But because he stood on the word, even it in its natural state couldn't function.
It couldn't defy the word.
It could not defy the word. Even it has to submit.
You got to submit
to the word. And so that's why when God gives you the word about a situation,
that's what you stand on.
You got to stand on that, because even that situation has to submit
absolutely
to the word.
Absolutely.
And you have to believe that it's happening in the spirit, and then you're going to be able to see it manifest in the natural.
Because God gave Peter a word.
He did.
He said, come. What if Peter didn't obey it? Would it have meant that the word didn't work?
Right.
No.
It's that he didn't have the faith for it. And a lot of times that's the situation that we're in. We're trying to blame this, that, and the other, but it's really because
we ain't got the faith for it.
We don't have the faith for it, which means that we're not taking the appropriate action.
Right.
So faith without works is dead. See, he didn't just say come and Peter say, well, I believe that Jesus has the ability to let me walk on the word, walk on the water. It's not enough for him to say, I believe, because if he believed it and didn't do it, said, I have faith for that, but didn't do it, then you really don't have faith for it.
Mm-hmm.
But he believed it because he took the appropriate work.
Mm-hmm.
He said, come, okay, I believe that he could. So he did. And then the minute he started to allow the natural to now infect his head, and what's happening here? Waves crashing, wind howling, can you imagine? Wind whipping on him, he's getting wet as he's walking. He's like, what am I doing? I can't do this. And then he started to sink, and then even still Jesus saved him. So it's like we have to it's not enough to have faith and to do it, but you got to be firm in your belief.
Mm-hmm.
Because the devil will try to rattle you, or the natural circumstances of things will try to rattle you, and you can't lose faith. You got to hold on to that faith.
Mm-hmm.
Even when it starts to get a little shaky, because it will.
Mm-hmm.
It will get shaky. Jesus will tell you, hey, you're going to be a millionaire, and next thing you know, you got negative 43 cents in your account, and you can't let that stir. You know, I know that I got negative 43 cents, but Jesus said I'm going to be a millionaire. I got to hold on to that. He said you're going to have this, that, and the other, and then everything looks like it's not going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to still believe and take the appropriate action, whatever it is that he's telling you to take.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't, you'll start to sink. But you can still cry on the Lord, and he'll save you. But let's not even get to that point. Let's just hold on to our faith and ask the Lord to to quicken us or do whatever we need to do to hold on to the faith, because I'm not saying that that's an easy task. I mean, this is something I struggle with as a person.
I've performed lots of miracles.
I've prophesied over people, seen prophecies come to pass in other people's lives, in my own life, and even still, my cage can get rattled.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to check myself and take it to the Lord and say, my cage is rattled, Lord. He's like, that comes with the territory. Hold on to what I'm telling you. I know what it looks like. I know what it even feels like. But that's not the truth of the matter. What I say is what's true. And that's going to have to line up, because nothing, like the word says, if God be for you, who could be against you? Nothing could be against you when God is for you. And nothing can defy when God speaks it, because when he speaks, things change.
Mm-hmm.
There was just a big void, big mass darkness, but until God spoke it. And now all the things that we see is a result of words. So when he said it to you about your circumstance, it's already changing. You're just waiting on to see the final result. But it's already on the way. It's already going to be that because he said it. So everything that's not lining up to that is going to have to conform. It's going to have to bow down and become what he said it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to believe that. We can't let circumstances or the natural or whatever get in the way of what God is saying. Because then you have a faith for that. You have a faith for what you're seeing. And we walk by faith and not by sight. Because then eventually, what you have faith for, you will see. But you had the faith for it before you saw it. You see what I'm saying? If we walk by faith and not by sight, you will see what you have faith for eventually. But you're not seeing it because you have faith for it. Because you have faith in what you see. You're seeing it because you have faith before you even saw it. And then it becomes that. Because you're walking into that direction. You're walking into what God has already said.
It's just faith. Faith is a stamp on order,
because
it's like faith operates on for righteous things or unrighteous. So faith is like when whatever you agree to, that's what you're going to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Because that's what you got faith for. Faith, you come into an agreement with something.
Oh, that's it.
I have faith for this. I believe it.
Yeah.
You know, so that I'm gonna manifest it. It's gonna happen. You know, and we do it all the time. But to have faith in the word of God, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the faith that counts. Faith in God. You know, you can have counterfeit money that might get by on certain purchases, or this, that, and other, and it seems like it's all good. But you're going to try to purchase something and get stamped down with that counterfeit faith. it takes real faith to serve a real God.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And that's what's going to please him. You can't come to God with the counterfeit faith at all. So let's just believe what God says, put our faith in it, and walk in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We got a few minutes left. I do want to pray over, because there was some popping up and falling off. That was a good word tonight.
It was. I know I pulled some encouragement from it. I really did.
Amen. Let's see who we got in the queue. Press one on your dial pad, mate. Everybody got their hands up. We're just gonna spot down the line. 954-580.
Hello. Good evening. This is Carolyn.
Hey, Carolyn. How are you?
I am hanging on in there. It's not one of my best days in recent times, but I'm grateful. God is good.
Yes, he is. Yes,
thank
he
you.
Is.
How are you both?
Wonderful.
It's been a while.
Wonderful. Yeah, it's been a while, and Lord wants to tell you, it could be worse. It could
Amen.
Be worse. It could be worse. It could be worse. Wow. The things that Jesus went through for us, Carolyn. The thing, I put on my boxing gloves, of faith, and the Lord has put me in the ring to begin to jab at these quote-unquote contenders. And these contenders are those that are contending and pretending that Jesus isn't who he says he is. And not even who he says he is, but who God says he is. And so when we sit and we look at everything that he went through, you know, we hear a lot about slavery and things that us as a race of people, far as black people, if we have to identify that went through, you know, slavery here in America or what have you, and wherever else there were slaves in the world, you know, and they try to discount what Jesus went through. Did Jesus ever get fed to gators? Did Jesus ever get separated from his people? And did Jesus get castrated? You know, all that type of stuff. You know, he ain't my savior, blah, 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 blah. Because how can I serve a God that this man that did this to these people claimed to serve, right? Mm-hmm. And so my answer, you know, I hear these stories all the time because it's a way that, you know, the enemy tries to come in and get people to get in their emotions to justify what's going on. But in reality, the scripture says Jesus bore the sin of the whole world. So he feels everybody's pain. So just imagine not the pain you might have felt getting whipped by one person, but just imagine the pain that everybody felt that was given. And everybody's pain was different. And whatever people were going through emotionally and physically, Jesus took it on. Spiritually, he took it on. You know, but they want to discount who he is and what he did. And there is nothing that we can go through. And hold up. And the thing is, they will talk about not serving the God of the enemy, not realizing that people lie. People come as imposters all the time. People do things all the time and say it in the name of Jesus. That's why you got false prophets. You know, that's why you got people that claim to do certain things and then Jesus don't know who they are. You know what I mean? And so I get how the enemy can use it, but you can't deny what the truth of something is. And so you talk about everything that went on and you talk about how you want to discount Jesus, but yet still the God that you claiming that you are going to serve, the one that you are telling me is the one, right? You're telling me this the God that I need to serve and I need to turn away from Jesus because Jesus ain't done nothing for you. But then I ask, so all of the stuff that you claim just happened based off of history to our ancestors and to all of these people that went on, why didn't the God that you're telling me to serve and telling me to believe in then stop it? Where were they? What was your God doing? Whose sins did your God die for?
And so
I'm sitting and I'm thinking, okay, here it is. You talk about all of the stuff that's going on in your life and all the stuff that's terrible in your life, and you want to blame Jesus for it. And you want to turn away from him.
Okay.
To someone that you don't even have a clue who it is, but yet still the same stuff happens.
Exactly.
The same stuff happens.
That's so true.
And so here we are in this time to where God has to get credit, and he will.
Amen.
We're living in time to where we're going to be moving with Noah type of instructions. Think about Noah begin to build a boat during a time where they ain't never seen no water.
Mm-hmm.
And he was getting these instructions from God. It wasn't YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't your local carpentry store, your local Ace, a Home Depot. And look how crazy he looked, believing God in a time and dealing with people that have never seen what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So look at the days that we're living in, where it's all about technology. And we got people, that's all that they were born into, a light in their face. From the palm to their face. All this time where they got access to everything that seemingly makes their life better. But when that is cut off, and your God has no power, where do you turn? Many will lose it in the days to come. They don't know anything else. They're gonna fall for in and everything because they've never been the God that they believe in and trust in hasn't even been identified as their God. A lot of them don't even know that they were believing in technology, and technology has become their God. So a lot of people finna get that awakening. Get that awakening. And so with I said all that, I don't want the Lord to have me go down that path with you, Carolyn, but the Lord has given you a variety, a wide range of ways of thinking and ways of seeing things and understanding where people are and how to get them help. Because in anything in life, in order to get to somebody, you have to first know where they are.
Oh, my God.
I got to know where you are. Where are you located? How can I get to you? I can't get you what you need if I don't know where you are. And the world doesn't care about where you are. The world is only focused about taking you where it's going, straight to hell.
My God.
God wants to know where you are so he can come pull you out.
Mm.
It got to get to you to get you the help you need to pull you out.
Mm.
And so the blessing is understanding that you and knowing that you are in a bad situation and you need help. And when you're having those quote unquote bad days, it's just realizing, man, I need help. And so you're sending off the signal in the spirit for God to send you the help you need to pull you out from where you are. He got to locate you.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to know where you are so he can get you where you need to be.
That's right.
knowing where you are. Knowing where you are. And when you recognize where you are, yeah, it seems bad. It seems terrible because it is. You told no lies, but you're not focusing on where you are because you know help is on the way.
Amen.
You know where you can get help from, and that's what I hear God saying. Where you are, he's sending help. Like, the help Amen. Is on the way. Like, you have to identify what's going on. You got to identify your cousin don't follow the Lord, regardless that you love him. He don't believe in Jesus. If he died right now, he would not spend eternity with him. This is the words of the Father. This ain't got nothing to do with you. It ain't got nothing to do with family traditions, Carolyn. It ain't got nothing to do with that. If the people that you love the most do not accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, according to the scripture, they will not spend eternity with him.
Amen.
That's it. And all he was asking, where are you? And you sitting there drowning and won't even wave your hand and say, I'm right here. Because he's knocking. But he needs permission. He needs permission to come in.
Mm-hmm.
It's so many of us waiting on God to do something when he is just saying, give me permission. Like, I've been out here knocking for the longest. You can't turn the music down. Turn the TV off. Get off the phone. So you can hear somebody at the door.
My God.
Tell them kids to be quiet and clean up or take a nap. Put that dog outside. You can't hear nothing with chaos going on inside.
Amen.
And so many of us have been caught up in tradition in our lives. And tradition has caused chaos. Because it's loyalty to family, loyalty to bloodline, earthly bloodline. When the things in this earth gonna stay here in this earth.
Amen.
God ain't finna torture me in eternity because my favorite cousin didn't make it. That's between him and the Lord.
Right.
They ain't got nothing to do with me. But I'm pretty sure those that didn't make it will remember you. Those that did. And remember every conversation you had with them. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that. Every phone call that they ignored when you called just to tell them you loved them.
Mm-hmm.
And just to give a word that God gave you to give to them, they ignored you, left you on red.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think they're going to think about that for eternity? Be tortured with every opportunity that they had, and they spit in Jesus' face because you can't tell them nothing. They ain't serving no white man God. Really? Is that all Jesus is to you? Really? That's what you're going to make him out to be, really? But many shall see it in me. But don't you hesitate. Don't you hesitate and hold back and stand on the word of God, Carolyn, in these times to come. Because everything mm-hmm. that you have seen, experienced, and trusted to an extent will be tried this year. And everything that's not of God will fail.
Amen. Amen.
It will fail.
Amen.
Man, ooh. I could just sense like that God really like pumping you up. I see like a pump. He's plugged into
Amen.
You. Like you've been deflated in some areas, but he's pumping
Thank
you
God.
Up. He's giving you the air that you need to stand out, to be usable again.
Thank you, Father.
Ain't nothing a flat basketball can do. It can't bounce. It needs some air. So it can perform to do what it was made to do. God made you to do a work for him. He made you to do a work for him. It ain't no, he ain't make you to do a work for your brother, your sister, your mama, your daddy, your aunties, your uncles, your cousin. It was for him.
Thank
and
you.
By default, they benefit because of the work he assigned you to do. Absolutely.
Thank you, God.
Amen. Go ahead. Yeah. That's it, man. That's what we got in Jesus' name. We seal it. We seal it in the blood. We seal it in the blood. We come against fears. We come against doubt. We come against all the senses of uncertainties. We come against like the spirit of trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
We want the spirit of confidence to reign. Confidence in the word of God to take precedence, to be the prime focus, that taking on the mind of Christ, having the mind of Christ, Carolyn, in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Understanding what he gave his life for,
mm-hmm.
why he did it.
And that he's not going to leave you alone. That's what I'm sensing. Like I feel like you're about to really get that peace, Carolyn, of I don't need to know step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to know those steps. Step 1, trust God. That's
mm-hmm.
it. That's all you need.
Amen.
And at the appropriate time, according to his timing, not your timing,
mm-hmm.
not anybody else's timing,
mm-hmm.
but according to his timing, he will let you know what you need to do. And you rest on that.
Rest.
Because I get that. We'd be like, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to do now? He'd be like, wait. He'd be like, but I need to. He's like, wait.
Wait.
You already, being in the hands of God is the best place to be. Period.
Period.
Amen.
That's where you are. He's not going to drop you. He's not going to forget. Oh, what the? I was supposed to do something for Carolyn. Wasn't? Oh man, I forgot. It's not gonna happen.
Mm-mm.
He's checking to see what you're gonna do. How you gonna respond? But a peace is coming onto you. The peace that surpasses understanding. Understanding
mm-hmm.
is knowing step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's an understanding.
Yeah.
If you don't have step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, now this is where you shouldn't have peace. But the peace comes in
mm-hmm.
that surpasses that. I don't have to understand.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? I don't have to understand the steps. All I got to do is serve the one who does. He's already in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Parents said something this morning. When I wake up, God is already in this day. I don't need to try to figure out the day. God is already in it.
Mm-hmm.
He saw me fit to be in the day. So all I got to do is follow God, and whatever I need for the day, he's going to provide for the day,
mm-hmm.
period, like daily manna.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you got. This is what God is conditioning you for, the daily manna.
Mm-hmm.
Where I don't need to have a refrigerator full with food and pantry filled with food. I know that God's going to take care of today.
Man.
Today.
Man.
Today's things are already handled.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not stressing. See, when God conditions you like that, then you're not tripping or stressing about what's going to happen next Tuesday.
Because
I know he got me every day.
Every day.
Because every day I wake up and he got me for the day. This is the conditioning he's doing for the time that we're coming into, where you just like, I don't know, but God got me.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, well, what you gonna do? I'm gonna take it to Jesus.
That's it.
That's all I can do. I don't have any details. I can't give you that, any itemized, you know, things that I'm, I take it to Jesus. That's, I take it to him. I'm waiting on him now. And I'm going to be at peace, because while I'm waiting on him, I'm going to think on the things that are true, the things that are lovely, the things that have a good report. That's what I'm going to put my mind on. And so when things try to come in and crowd my mind that aren't of those things, I'm going to cast them down.
Absolutely.
When them burdens and all that heavy stuff try to come, I'm going to cast that to Jesus. Yes. I'm going to do an exchange for his light yoke.
Come on, somebody.
Because he's already conditioned me how to move. I'm going to move according to the word. I got to walk this word. It's not enough to know it. I got to walk it. This is how I'm going to get through. This is how I'm going to get to. I'm going to walk the word because it works, because it is true.
Take up your cross.
That's what I'm going to do. Take up my cross. Period.
Right. We saw what the word did when the word came. The scripture said the word was made flesh.
Come on. Yeah. We saw the prophecies come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Even what you just read, so that it could come to pass what was already written.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they was treating Jesus like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that what God said would come to pass. So he creates and allows things so that he's not a liar.
Because he can't lie?
Because he can't lie. So that's what I'm going to hold on to. I'm going to hold on to the truth. Because whatever God spoke about me personally or about me as the righteousness of God, because I'm engrafted into the family of God, I'm going to hang my hat on that. That is the truth. I don't care what it looked like. That's the truth. So that's what I'm going to focus on. So I like to check my emotions and everything that's going on around me. Like, nah, we're not going to focus on harp on that. I'm going to focus on the truth. I'm going to tap into what I'm entitled to. I'm entitled to peace that surpasses understanding. I don't need to be in turmoil. I don't need to have no anxiety. I need to be anxious for nothing according to the word. For nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing is just that. Nothing. So that anxiety tries to come on, you something, and the word says to be anxious for nothing, so you got to go. And I take it to the Lord. Look, Lord, I'm feeling anxious. Help me. Quiet my thoughts. Comfort me. And he will. But you're being conditioned for what is to come, because he's already in the future. You in right now.
Mm-hmm.
But right now is already in 2 seconds, going, not even 2 seconds, in a nanosecond going to be the past. He's already ahead of you. So he knows what it takes for what is to come, to where you're not tripping on nothing. Anything try to come against you, it's like you got a bulletproof shield on. Because life's going to try to, and it's not going to do anything to you. Because today is conditioning you for tomorrow and so on and so forth. But you don't even know what's coming tomorrow. Just like that, your whole circumstance can change. Just like that.
Mm-hmm.
He knows. All you know is I trust the Lord. That's all I got. I trust the Lord. So he knows what's going to happen tomorrow, next Tuesday, next month, 2027. He knows what's going to happen all this time. So I'm just trusting him and not allowing myself to get swallowed up in the things of the world.
Oh my God, we ain't trying to get swallowed up.
Mm-mm.
I'm telling you.
Because it will try. The world will try. Mm-hmm. It will try to swallow you up like that fish did Jonah.
Oh God.
It spits you out. But now we're not doing that.
Man.
We're going to put our focus where our focus needs to be. So Lord, thank you for Carolyn. Thank you for that everything she counts at all joy. All of it. Because it's all working for her. All workers ain't created equal, but they all produce. So we thank you for the production that's coming out of the work, of the production that's coming out, because whatever's happening, it's working for her. So if it's working for her, it's producing for her. And we know that the plans that you have for us are not for our harm. So whatever is producing for her good.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, Father God, that she's resting in you and focusing on you and put her mind on you and learning how to take out when things try to crowd her mind, how to push it back to say, no, we're not doing that. I'm not thinking on that because I have a choice on what I'm going to think on. I'm not thinking on that. But you're training her for her daily manna. Give us this day our daily bread. You're training her how to just receive her daily bread and be content, because she could trust that tomorrow, the daily bread for tomorrow is going to produce itself, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Give her peace, Father God, and understanding of what is going on. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you both so very much. Oh, I will have to re-listen because this has been just so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is you ain't come in for no appetizer. The Lord gave you four courses.
He really did. He pulled you up to the table and said, well, a whole buffet.
He served you up tonight. Mm-hmm. Jesus. But we glad you called, Carolyn. We love you.
Yes, we do.
As always. I think she's there. Okay. All right, we got time for one more. 702-275. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Morgan.
Hey, Morgan.
Hi.
What's up? Where are you calling from, Morgan? I forget.
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, yes. Still a nation, baby. You know what I'm saying? I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, so always liked Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, yeah, the colors. Just, I'm a sports fan. You know, some people frown up on us that they watch sports, but I don't, that's their opinion. Let's pray, Morgan. We got a couple minutes. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for Morgan tonight, Father God. We thank you for positioning. We thank you for parallels. Wow. When the Lord give me something, I have to see exactly. Because I know parallels, they side by side, they similar.
Mm-hmm.
Distance. Yes, okay, all right. The positioning in parallels, it's like I see God seeing things, putting things at the right distance, like so everything can move properly.
Okay.
When you're dealing with like putting, when machinists put parts together, the distance matters. Especially when they're working in parallel, they have to have the right distance in order to make things work proper and everything to move and to perform properly. And I see God doing it with you in your life and creating the proper distance with those in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we're dealing with family members, they are in parallel with our lives, you know. We have family events. You grow with people, and we all love each other. We all love each other, but we all don't have the same faith. And this is what we really have to understand, even as earthly families, that everybody don't believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
And we're coming into that time to where those things that are in parallel with us, we're not actually in the same position, but we're still doing a work that we are supposed to do. And so God is really going to have you stay in your position. I'm seeing like with family members and friends or even just certain ways of thinking, certain traditions and things. God is really going to use you to challenge these particular things to really getting to the substance of what it is and why. And people, they're going to come at you like you tearing stuff apart and this, that, and the other. I'll be ashamed of yourself, Morgan. Why would you do this?
Yeah.
You didn't have to ask that question. But in all actuality, you had to. Because when God is telling you to do something, he needs that done.
Mm-hmm.
Because like people, eternities are dependent on our obedience to God.
Yes.
Because people, God has assigned people to you, Morgan. They hear you. They want to hear from you. Like, they got to hear from you. They ain't going to hear from nobody else. But if they see you or hear from you, they believe it. You know? Yeah. And I see God really, really positioning you on distance, on where to put people and things.
Okay.
In the proper distance in your life so you can move properly. So you can have the right room to move freely without slapping anybody. You know what I mean? You get a part that gets stuck, you know, because something is crowding the space. You got to make those adjustments. Mm-hmm. Things have to be in the right space, and you're gonna, God gonna teach you how to stand on it, because it is really prioritizing your call. It's prioritizing your call, and creating the distance is very important for you to do that.
Okay.
Because the distance is training. It's teaching people that you're not available for them all the time. They need to take it to Jesus. Like, you can't be hearing from God for yourself if you sitting over here listening to everything they bring it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look, I don't have time for your problems now. You know, don't burden me with them. People really want to burden you with their issues, and they pound all of their situations on you. It's like a dumping ground.
Yeah.
And you wonder, when you're feeling tired, getting off the phone, can't get nothing done. All that stuff, that garbage you just took on from giving so-and-so that time. And during that time, they jumped off all on you. No. The distance is going to create the boundaries.
Okay.
And you're going to flourish. You're going to flourish when you create those boundaries, because no is a complete sentence. You can tell people no. You ain't got to worry about how people feel, Morgan, by saying no. Everybody gets angry. Yeah. So what? You be angry 1 minute, and I felt all different type of ways. I felt angry before. I'm not angry now.
Right.
Whatever it was I was angry about, I got over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't even remember what it was now. You know, like,
right.
So that's how you have to put yourself in it. Like, oh, they're going to be mad at, no, forget all that. Because you got work to do, and God is clearing things out away from around you so that you can get to moving.
Okay.
So that you can get to moving. And that's what I'm getting for you. So, Lord, we just thank you that Morgan stands strong. We thank you that she receives all that you have for her. And we thank you that she encourages, not only encourages others, but encourages herself, understanding to learn how to be her biggest fan, to learn how to really see you how you see her, and fall in love with who you made her to be. Yes. And as she sees who she is in you, like, the quality of life expands. The quality of life expands. The quality. Heavenly quality. Things, I sense things happening that no man could make happen in your life, that's going to blow people's minds. Like, what? And when you tell them, some will be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And many will be amazed.
Yes.
But to God be the glory. So expect that. I see God doing like a miracle, like a for real miracle in your life. A miracle.
Amen.
A miracle. I don't know what that is, but
right.
We receive those miracles in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. That's rich. That's rich. You got anything you want me to pray for specifically, or you got anything you want to share before we go?
No, I don't think so. I think I thought I had a little stuff, but now I'm like, well, that was really. I got to chew on this now. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's good. I'm excited. I'm excited for you, Morgan.
Yeah,
I really am, because I've been there.
Yeah,
it's like for me. Like, I don't know if your experience would be different, you know, but I know it's for me. It's bittersweet, and I'm going through another phase of it now. Like
right now.
where God begins for you to reposition things, and He'll show you things about people. You know, and he'll bring up things from yesteryear and shine a light on it and be like, hey, that's why that right there is like this. This is why you went through that. So it has always been that, but I couldn't tell you that then because you would be acting different then. So because you're who you are now, I could tell you this now because you're not going to react the way you would have done if I hadn't told you then.
Right.
And so I'm seeing it. And I'm like, wow. I mean, I still acknowledge it. And you as a human being, you still have to deal with the emotional parts of things.
Mm-hmm.
But you put them where they're supposed to be. You put dirty clothes in a dirty clothes basket to get washed, you know.
Right.
And take them through the wash cycle, you know. Everything has a place where it's supposed to be for things to be done for it, so it can be serviced.
Right.
It has to be serviced. And so, yes. Wow, that's rich. Golly, man, you got to tell me about this. You got to tell me about this. And it's going to happen soon.
Okay.
So probably by next week, when you call back in and I'm going to be hearing something. You're going to be sharing something. God says it's a quick turnaround.
Amen.
It's like a quick work.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Amen.
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 Amen. But thank you for calling in. It's definitely a blessing.
Thank you.
It always benefits me to share. I'm always amazed by what God gives. But this is it. I'm not going to be able to get to everybody else, but I got to clear it out for Randy. But we love you all. As always, Prophetic Grace Network is a blessing. I'm grateful to be a part of it and still just looking forward to see what all God has in store for us this year. So, Morgan, we love you. We love everybody. God bless you guys.
Amen. Love you guys.